All right, welcome back to the show. Len Martez here with you, and as we do every Wednesday around this time, we bring in a man who I will say, yes, I will say, knows more about the Hokies than anyone I know, and it's Chris Coleman of TexIsland.com. What's up, Chris?
Oh, not much, man. Glad to be back.
How you doing?
Pretty good. Can't complain.
Everything all right?
Yes, sir.
Weather treating you well?
As well as it can be, I guess.
as bad as everyone else is dealing with it, right?
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
All right, let's get into this. We'll jump into things a little bit. First things first, let's see. Where do we go? I'll tell you where we go. Butch Davis came out and said this week that he's in favor of having an early signing, like in December, to take away that lull between the end of the year and, let's say, February, when they actually do sign. And he's getting some people on board in the ACC, the other coaches. Good thing, bad thing, where do you fall on that?
I'm for it, although I'm not for the December date. I think that's too close to February. I think they need to push it back. I don't think you can have a signing date in the middle of December, or in the middle of the season, at the beginning of December. You know, that's right after the regular season ends. I mean, can you imagine, let's say Virginia Tech is gearing up to play in the ACC championship game this year, but instead of committing themselves 100% to practice, they've got to go out and fax these LOIs to these recruits and make sure they sign their LOIs and things like that. I don't think it's a good idea to have it in December. I personally think they should have one right before preseason camp starts, right about now, actually. You know, the Hokies already have 15 verbal commitments right now. A lot of other schools around the country have a lot. And, you know, if these guys know where they want to go, there's no reason why they shouldn't be able to sign now or even when they make their verbal commitment. It would also eliminate a lot of this backstabbing, you know, recruiting a kid who's already verbally committed to another school. You know, there's unethical things that goes on in recruiting sometimes, and I think an early signing date would eliminate a lot of that.
Surprise, surprise. Last segment we were talking about a little illegal stuff by Nick Saban of Alabama, and of course it does go on, but yeah, you're right. It happens too often in college sports. Len Martez here with you on Blacksburg's ESPN 1430 with TechSideline.com's Chris Coleman, as we are every Wednesday at this time. Let's see, we're talking about Butch Davis. You got Butch Davis, Tom O'Brien, North Carolina State, both guys getting $1 million annually. Which one is going to earn their bucks this year?
That's a good question. I think right off the top of my head, I think right away Tom O'Brien will be better for NC State right away. Long term, I think UNC has more potential just because of their national name. But Tom O'Brien is a disciplinarian, and he's going to bring the thing NC State lacked under Chuck Amato, and that's discipline. They never lack talent, they lack discipline. And that's something he's going to be able to fix right away with his military background. So I think short-term results, you're going to see NC State make an improvement. Not necessarily go to a bowl game this year, but you will see better play on the field, more disciplined play on the field.
It's surprising, but not really. I'm being sarcastic when I say that, but you mentioned the discipline and the military background. First, Tom Coughlin from BC, now Tom O'Brien from BC, and Tom O'Brien brings that to North Carolina State. And I agree with you. Long term, Butch Davis will have a bigger impact on his university. Don't forget what Butch Davis knock out. Take away what he did in the NFL with the Cleveland Browns. Take that away. It's not the same thing. You're dealing with a salary cap. He will recruit his butt off at North Carolina. He has to battle other schools in the ACC, but he will do a good job. He did a good job at the University of Miami recruiting. He left a cupboard full for Larry Coker. He will do a good job recruiting in North Carolina. Great game day coach? Not willing to say that just yet, but he'll do a good job in North Carolina.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And you look what he did this past year. He had been on the job, you know, basically just for a month or so, and he landed the number one defensive tackle in the country out of D.C., Marvin Austin. So that's paying dividends just like that. And, you know, in the state of Virginia, there's plenty of high schools in the state of Virginia that are actually closer to Chapel Hill than Blacksburg, you know, or even Charlottesville, some of them. So I think he's a guy who can have a big impact, although he hasn't made an impact in the state of Virginia yet. And they're limited this year. They can't take that many guys because they don't have that many open scholarships. But as time goes by, He's going to develop relationships with those high school coaches and players, and I think he's going to do a good job in recruiting for UNC.
Len Martez here on Black Sports ESPN 1430, joined by TechSideline.com's Chris Coleman. All right, staying in the ACC, what team are we not paying attention to that we should?
I think there's a couple. Clemson is a team that always has talent, and I think they're a team that, even though they lost their starting quarterback, they're replacing him with a guy with more physical talent, a better arm and better pocket presence. So I think they could get better quarterback play than they did last year, which could go a long way. That was their main problem last year offensively. They had the running game, but as the season progressed and teams loaded up on their running game, Will Proctor could not beat anybody with his arm. So I think Clemson's a team to watch, although they are very young. Georgia Tech's another team that, they're going to be better with a new starting quarterback. Taylor Bennett, I think, he's going to do a better job than Reggie Ball, who, you know, never completed 50% of his passes. I mean, and just toss the ball to the other team left and right. I would hate to have seen his stats if Calvin Johnson didn't exist. But I think Georgia Tech, they're going to have the top offensive line in the ACC. I don't think a lot of people realize that they have good talent down there. They're going to be borderline top 25 in the preseason polls, but I think they're a team that can make a run in the Coastal Division again.
You mentioned Georgia Tech, and there's a kid there, running back, talking a lot of talk this early in the season, where the season hasn't started yet, Tashard Choice, who's talking about, you know what, I should be ranked as high as Darren McFadden as far as Heisman Trophy is concerned. You mentioned as much talent as Georgia Tech might have. He's their go-to guy now that Calvin Johnson is gone. So we'll see about Georgia Tech. Jumping into the Virginia Tech schedule, I'm looking at it. You got week 3, week 4, week 5. I won't say pull an upset, but which one of these 3 weeks should we be kind of afraid of? Whether it be William & Mary, Ohio, North Carolina. Should we be afraid of any of those weeks for the Hokies?
Obviously not William & Mary.
I'm reaching here. Oh, no.
North Carolina has some talent, but they won't be able to hang with Tech this year. Ohio is a team that actually went to a bowl game last year, and former Nebraska head coach Frank Solich is their head coach now up at Ohio, and he's really done a really nice job in 2 years there. We played them 2 years ago in Lane Stadium, and they're a pretty physical team. They did a pretty good job against Tech's running game. You know, they're not going to have the talent offensively to beat Tech. But I would actually think that they would stand a better chance of upsetting Tech than UNC. UNC, at this point, I just don't think they have the horses defensively or on the offensive line. I think they've got some nice receivers, but they just don't have the horses at this point. But that gets back to Butch Davis's recruiting. I think at some point they will.
Virginia Tech went there last year. North Carolina beat them 35-10. North Carolina actually comes here this year. So Chris is predicting that that score won't probably change much. And I side with you. I was just wondering, you get Coach Beamer that comes out week 3, week 4, week 5, and he says, well, we got to watch out for this team. And I guess we will agree that's pretty much coach speak.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, that's one thing you're going to get used to. You're still pretty new around here. You're going to get used to Coach Beamer every week saying, well, such and such team, his quote is, we'll get after you. William & Mary will get after you. That's what Coach Beamer is going to say leading up to that game.
All right. Staying with Virginia Tech, got a couple of good running backs joining the team in the fall, Josh Oglesby and Darren Evans. Oglesby entered Tech last spring semester after fulfilling his high school requirements. Why did he opt to do that? Why do some guys do that? And why didn't guys like Terod Taylor and Darren Evans do the same?
Well, it gives you a chance at better playing time. Oglesby, obviously, early in his recruitment, he saw that he had a chance to enroll early and set his classes up so he could do that. Tech's running back situation, you know, there was Brandon Orr, and then there was kind of everybody else. So, see, he saw it as a chance to come in and have a chance to learn the system in the spring, which is the main learning time, and then maybe have a chance to play this fall. I don't think it's going to work out, but, you know, in the long run, it'll probably be good for him. Other guys just want to go ahead and finish their high school career like everybody else. They want to get that last semester of high school in, go to the prom, put off having to take college classes and with 6 a.m. workouts and Mike Gentry for just a little while longer. Which, you know, I think is commendable because most of those guys are going to redshirt anyway.
Does that give Oglesby an advantage over Evans?
I think it probably does at this point. If you were going to decide right now if either one of those guys were going to play, you would have to say Oglesby at this point because he has some experience in the system going through spring practice.
What's happened to Ellen Lewis? What's happened to him?
He was, you know, he was a very highly touted recruit coming out of high school. I believe he was number two in the state. And he just got overweight. He was about 5'8", 210 coming out of high school. And that was a really good weight for him. He was a bowling ball of a running back with good acceleration. But he ballooned up to 238 pounds on that 5'8" frame this past season. And, you know, everybody just passed him by. I've heard he's dropped a little bit of weight now. But, you know, I don't see it happening for him. He's going to have to really turn it up a notch. He's got the talent, but, you know, does he really, really want it? That's the question.
The official word is out now about Nigel Munson. Richmond Times has come out today and said that it's official. The release has been granted to Munson. So now we've got a point guard in Hank Thorns, and then we've got a 1-2 guy. Who do you see starting come basketball season as far as Seth Greenberg's guy?
Well, I think Thorns will start at point guard. It's obviously going to be one of those two guys. They're the only ones that can play the position. I think Seth would like to play Delaney at the two guard as much as possible because Delaney's an excellent shooter. He's a very good scorer. He really blew up since early this year when he really started playing well and jumped into the national top 50 in some people's rankings. He's a guy who can really shoot. He can take it to the basket and drive. And I think Seth would really like to use his scoring ability at the two guard and let Thorns run the point. Now, we'll see if that's able to happen. We obviously won't know until practice starts in October. But, if I had to put money on it right now, I would say Thorns.
Chris, appreciate the time. Appreciate the information. As always, every Wednesday you can catch TechSideline.com's Chris Coleman on this show. Brother, we'll talk next week.
Looking forward to it.
Thanks, man.